Hopefully. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to speak from the Word again after a very long time. It's been quite a while, I think about 2 years, and I'm really nervous right now, so please bear with me. As I was meditating on the Word, God took me to Matthew chapter 14. Get all this. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 14. And verse 33.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But then, when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down.
That's it. We all know this passage very well. We've been told this since we're very young. We've heard a lot of sermons, but given the present condition of the world and of us Christians ourselves, I'd like to reiterate the themes of this passage. And we all know what happened here. Peter and some of the other disciples are on the boat, and they saw someone coming by on the ocean, and they saw Jesus. And Peter wanted to go out and walk on the water, and he did so, but then he started sinking. First of all, I would like to talk about the word impossible. The word impossible is so worldly in its meaning that many people often set their standards low to match with that word. You know, we have this mindset that we're limited in everything, that we can't do a lot of stuff, so we don't do it. We don't even try. And for example, we find it kind of hard to maybe go to Brazil or some other country to do mission work, probably because the tickets are too high, we don't have enough money, or because we're scared that we're going to die and that nothing's fruitful is going to come out of it. And so, what I'm trying to say here is that impossible is nothing. We can overcome impossible, and I can't. There are two ways to do that. First of all, go to verse 22. It says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Here we see that they're all sitting in this little boat, in their little comfort zone. You know, they're not venturing out, they're not doing anything, they're just blind to the world around them. They're blind to see the people around them, and they refuse to take over the sea. They stay in their little comfort zones, and they don't care about anything else. And there are two things necessary to achieve the impossible, and that involves stepping out of your little comfort zone, the little boat, and taking that step. And instead of just simply stepping out, we have to make sure that we walk on water. Amen? We should go more than just spreading the word. We should go beyond that. Verse 27 says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Here Jesus said, we're not to be afraid of this world. Why should we be when we have the maker of the universe back us up? Hallelujah. So, first of all, he asks us to be of good cheer. By being of good cheer and by rejecting fear, we can overcome this world and we can overcome the impossibilities of our frail human life. Amen. Fear is a very selfish thing. And we should know that it's somewhat like a sin, because fear is thinking about ourselves, thinking about what's going to happen to me. Am I going to get hurt? Or, how's my life going to end up? What's going to happen to me? And as we know, God is a very jealous God. He requires our grace. He requires our concern, and we have to focus on Him, not only on ourselves. If we focus on Him, then He will take care of us. We don't have to worry about ourselves. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us. Are we going to get sick? Are we going to die? Am I going to get in this accident? All we have to do is care, put all our cares on God. He requires us to put our trust in Him in an act of submission. Because only through submission can we overcome this world, can we overcome our frailties as humans. And this is, He requires us to do so that we can fulfill the first part of overcoming the impossible, rejecting fear. Amen. And on to the second requirement, we have to turn to verse 28 and 29. So He said, "Come," and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." The second way that we can overcome our impossibilities is when God commands us to do so. It's when God gives us the power to do so. And many people might say, you know, what if God doesn't tell me? What if God doesn't send me to this place? What if God doesn't give me the opportunity to go to this place? Well, here we see that Peter went to Jesus and asked Him. He sought after Jesus. God didn't come to him. You know, Peter went and sought after Jesus and asked Him, "Okay, let me walk on the water with you." And then He said, "Command me to come out there with you." And so God can choose to come to you if He wants to. But most of the time, we have to realize that God wants us to go to Him. We have to go seek after Him. You know, He's not obliged to come after us because being that we are. He's the eternal God. He's the maker of this universe. All we can do is go after Him, seek after Him, and know what He wants from our lives. And once we know God's will in our lives, and we know that we can live and to see Him one day in heaven. Amen. And Jesus was walking on the water and called for Peter to join Him. As long as Peter kept his mind on Jesus, and on Jesus' command to walk on the water, he did fine. However, as soon as he took his mind on Jesus and began to consider the physical impossibility of the situation, he started sinking. Many times we don't think about, you know, our weaknesses. Instead, we should think about what God has given us. We should be satisfied with God giving us, and we have to use it, put it to use. We can't just sit in our little boats and do nothing. We have to step out there. We should walk on water, not just step out of our comfort zone. We have to walk on water. We can't just go around and do nothing. We have to have an aim and purpose, and we have to use whatever skills and abilities that God gave us to do His will. And we need to ride the waves instead of just simply going along with the flow. We should go against the flow. Sometimes there might be there are little waves, you know, like losing a job or whatever. Sometimes there are big waves like earthquakes or tsunamis or hurricanes. But we have to learn how to overcome them, to step over them, and to overcome this world. Amen. Christ will be called to face. We in Christ will be called to stretchable places where we're stretched out beyond our limits. But since God is on our side, we can always overcome this. Amen. All we have to do is put our trust in God. We have to abolish fear. We have to trust in God and put our faith in Him, and we can achieve many great things. I'm going to leave you with this here.